Hare Krishna. I'd heard that the recording now is better, and I'll try and speak loud, so it's a little louder as well. And of course, I'm in Mayapur, so microphones, many microphones are pretty hard to come by around here anyway. Manjari has sent me a list of all kinds of questions that devotees continue to ask directly in relationship to this organ donating, as well as indirectly in connection with it. And this is going to be the last time, at least in the near immediate future, that I'm going to bring up this topic. So bear with me, but they're quite interesting points. First question is, does the offering organ affect the jiva, who the donor? And the answer there would be, yeah, sure, it's an action. For every action, there's a reaction, and it's not an act of devotion. Only acts of devotion are free from karma. So there's some kind of reaction involved, and if I go to sort of extreme case, say that the person who received the organ is some very sinful person who continues to go on and do all kinds of heinous activities, and the person who contributed to that was the organ donor. So you have to take some kind of reaction for that. It just isn't something you can just write off. And another question, which is a very interesting one that I hadn't thought of before, is that will the attachment to that bodily part continue of the donor if he's not completely cremated? And sounds like a reasonable assumption. This is why cremation takes place, so that the living entity, who's especially for conditioned souls, even perhaps devotees, they move on from their material body, and they don't hang on when it's burnt. That's the purpose of cremation, avoid someone becoming a ghost. One could consider a scenario where someone becomes curious, well, my heart got donated to someone, or I'm going to hang around and see who gets my heart. And we could even go as far as to consider that a person who's very much attached to his body, he may have a certain degree of ability as a ghost to then enter the body of the person, the recipient, and therefore haunt that person, because after all, that person's got his organ. So, good question. Okay, Srila Prabhupada talked about someone, about heart transplants, and an answer here that's given was, Prabhupada said that you can't extend someone's life in any case, and so therefore heart transplant isn't really doing what it's thought to do. Now I don't remember that, but let's just take that for granted, because that's the actual statement. Can someone's life be extended? Well, in the long term, no. In the short term, yes. In other words, that's what free will is. Free will is that you can extend your life by some means or another. It's yogis. Yogis perform austerities, and they can extend their life. been that long. Does that mean that they've changed their karma? Well, the short-term karma they have. But unless they've done that for the purpose of becoming Krishna conscious in a future life, in a long time, they'll be deprived of those years that they extended their life. Same thing, if a sense enjoyer extends his life in order to enjoy somewhere in a refrigerator, wants to come out when they can bring him back to life. Of course, that's not going to be possible because his soul's already gone somewhere. But if it could, then he would, in another future life, he would then live that much shorter. So ultimately, your karma in this material world is fixed, but because you have free will, then you may be able to extend here, but you will lose somewhere else. Next one. What does it mean to desecrate the body, and what's the consequence of desecrating the body? It's an etiquette. The Vaishnava's body is, especially a advanced devotee, is spiritual. It's transcendental. That's why sannyasis, for instance, spiritual masters are buried, because their bodies are considered to be pure. So to cut up that body, dismember it, disfigure it, it's a real sign of disrespect. So desecrating a body means disrespecting it, and rather we should respect the Vaishnava, even if he's not a transcendentalist, but still, not an ordinary person. And in the same way that we should show due respect to each other, so in the same way when we're alive, in the same way we should show due respect when we're dead. And therefore, we avoid doing things like that, such as desecrating somebody's body. Okay, and actually going back to that extending life, there's also a conversation. Devotees ask about a girl who's been kept alive by machines, and they ask Srila Prabhupada, "Well, Prabhupada, what should we do in a similar type of circumstance? She's been kept alive for years, although she can't do anything." And Prabhupada said, "No, they should let her die." So here's another example where by some mechanical means you can extend someone's life, but actually that person should have died a natural death early. You should have let him go, let karma take its course, don't interfere with it. Okay, this organ donor raises another question. Well, what about giving charity to non-devotees, like distributing clothes and other items? Don't they just use that for sense gratification? Yeah, sure they do. But there's a difference, and quite a big difference. One is that when they receive from devotees, and they know that they receive from devotees, people become appreciative. And the fact that they're appreciative, "Oh, the Hare Krishnas gave me this," is an opportunity for them to appreciate Krishna consciousness and devotees. Adoshara, it becomes their first step of faith, which otherwise they may have not had. So that makes a whole world of difference. And over and above that, there's the society that we live in which people have a difficult time appreciating spiritual transcendental activities, but they do welfare activities. But by appreciating the welfare activities, that facilitates us to do our spiritual activities and enables us to spread Krishna consciousness. So for instance, it's very easy to get people to give donations for food distribution And they're not thinking that we're distributing prasadam, they're just thinking that we're distributing food, because they think feeding the hungry is a really wonderful thing to do. Or you can get donations for distributing clothes or other types of welfare activity, having a hospital and so on. But it's much more difficult to get people to give you books, give you donations to sell books, to have a Rath Yatra. Only devotees will do that. And yet at the same time, that facilitates our other activity, provided, of course, the catch is that that doesn't become our primary activity. In other words, that doing these indirect things, such as giving out food and so on, now I'm talking about food that's not cooked, and clothes, that these things don't become our main activity, and the primary activities become neglected. And of course, and then this goes on to another question that she asked, is this also a PR strategy? Well, it's PR, because people, just like an organ donor, think, oh, these Hare Krishnas are really nice, they're really good. Not only is it just PR, but in terms of governments, are very favorable or become tolerant. Governments who may not necessarily, and for instance our situation in Hungary is also like that, they may not so easily tolerate our Harinam, our book distribution, other activities, but because we do these things, they're willing to sort of go that extra mile, and they're willing to do that extra and give us that extra benefit of the doubt. And because on the basis of that, we also have so much popular support. Number one, we're doing something that's helping the government, feeding people. And number two, it's getting so much popular support therefore they don't really want to get into a fight with us over whether we should have Rath Yatra or not. Ultimately, the last question here is, what's the most important principle when someone is giving charity, either or in prasadam or transcendental thing, if we want to advance the giver's and the receiver's spiritual life, that we're doing it for Krishna, that it's actually a real spiritual activity. We're doing things to please Krishna. And it's not just a verbal statement, but it's a statement of a fact. It has to be pleasing Krishna, or pleasing, facilitating the Krishna consciousness movement. So when we please Krishna, then everyone advances. And when the recipients, when they know, oh yes, this is the Hare Krishnas, that's also very good for them. So that becomes the best way of giving anything. When we do something, like I said, and we're no longer doing the primary thing, but we just become known as charitable people, as people who feed other people, as people who do welfare activities, then, and there's no other, sometimes this phrase, bridge preaching, comes up. Bridge preaching is some kind of indirect preaching, but actually it becomes a bridge just out into the ocean, because there's no other side to which the bridge connects people to. In other words, people, there isn't the active temple activities, there isn't the devotees dressed in dhotis and saris, there isn't the harinam, the book distribution, and so on. These things aren't really taking place. So then it's not good. But if it facilitates that in the ways that I've mentioned, then it's desirable. Hare Krishna.